Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how much have you been speaking with water lately? And what does it show you? How does it communicate back? Don't you have a friendship with water? I hope so. I hope you do. And to make better friends with water is to know what it's capable of. And to help us understand the great intelligence in water and what a friend it is to us is a woman who is a wonderful water researcher and crystallographer and someone I'm getting to know. I'm so impressed with her love of life and her excitement about bringing water, the intelligence of water, to the world. So Veda Austin, welcome to Energy Stew.
Thank you so much. It's such an honor to be here.
Well, thank you. I'm so excited about you, and I've been following your work for years, watching how you make water talk to us, just by even thinking to water, and it reveals itself back. So where can we get started? Because you're best at describing what you do.
Well, I think it's nice to sort of always start from a beginning point. And I think one of the most important questions I asked and possibly still ask is the question of what is water? Because when we are looking at water in a very scientific manner, we will always go to an analysis of what's in the water. And we kind of assume that, well, this is this type of water and this type of water and this type of water based on what the water holds. But that's only telling us what the water holds. What about water itself? What about water as the energetic behind the water that we understand holds salts, minerals, and all various other things? And so when you start looking at, well, then what is water, if you take that part away, then you start having to look a little deeper. And when you do that, a lot of things start to show up. And you start to kind of go, well, what about it just being hydrogen and oxygen then? But even if you look at that, you have two hydrogens, and hydrogen is said to be the spirit of water. Hydrogen means the creator of water. So there's this concept that hydrogen is the spirit of water, and that plasma is the mind of water, and that the physical water itself is the body that houses the spirit of water. So within each water molecule, if you're talking about the water we understand, you have two hydrogens and one large oxygen. The two hydrogens are feminine and in the mode of levity. The large oxygen is masculine in the mode of gravity, and together they create liquid water on Earth. And if you consider that by molecular count, not by volume, we're 99% water, and that our eye lens is 99% water, we are literally seeing everything through the lens of water every time we look at anything. And that tears really are like an expression of an emotion that we can see. And we say, if the eyes are windows to the soul, then tears are an expression of spirit. And the more you look into this idea of what is water, or this question of what is water, you can look in so many different directions and get so many truths. Even in the Bible, water is mentioned 722 times more than love, faith, and worship. Why might that be? You know, it's said that the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep, the face of the waters. So, and then sound was created. So we're just talking about a cymatic imprint. So I started to look further in that direction, and I started to look at Tesla's work. And, you know, he says, if you want to know the secrets to the universe, look at frequency, vibration, and energy. And so I thought, well, how can I understand that about water? So I started doing research, which is what I do. And I kind of started to think, well, where do I go next? And so I read Emoto's book, Messages in Water, and he was not embraced by the scientific community because he openly said he cherry-picked his photos to share the best photos that represented what he was trying to say.
Well, he got it started, and many
He opened.
years ago, I had lunch with him in New York. I was very impressed that he, to meet him. But you've taken it to another level.
Well, I'm not saying anything bad about Emoto by saying what the scientific community said. What I actually think is that he opened the doorway for people to see themselves as bodies of water, sensitive to thoughts, sounds, and environment. He became very famous off about eight pictures, contrasting pictures. And we that saying of a picture speaks a thousand words is very true, because when we love to see, and I've observed this a lot myself with how people respond to some of the work I do, people are very attracted to seeing the best and worst of things. And sometimes I think that a lot of the things in the middle get missed out. And I do a lot where I try to do a lot of the middle and the end as well in my work. So I saw his work, but I was also very impressed with Laurent Costa's work. He is a French microscopic photographer, flash freezing water in a similar way to Emoto. But rather than being a person who considered they were experimenting on water, he considered water to be his spiritual teacher. So he wanted to just invite water to share whatever it wanted. And so he would do his very best to be more of an observer, which is quite difficult as humans without having thoughts coming into the equation. But sometimes he would smile at the water and then he would take a drop and flash freeze it. He was seeing smiley faces, he was seeing hearts, he was seeing fish, he was seeing all kinds of actual images in the ice down the microscope, as well as geometries. And there's a really big difference between the way we respond to geometries and the way we respond to art. Both are art, but they are different types of art. And art that humans have been creating since good, such a long time, we even look at cave paintings, it's a way in which we can depict what we are seeing or feeling. So to see art in imagery and ice was really something special to me because I worked professionally as an oil painter for many years. So I see the world through an artistic lens anyway. I'm also a researcher, so we're all rather multifaceted. And then there was a man who was called Thomas Hieronymus. And Thomas Hieronymus was a radionic engineer. And he made an interesting observation that when he went into a Parisian meat market on a very, very cold, cold day, he observed that the freshly placed organs of an animal appeared to be affecting the way the frost froze on the glass behind where they were placed. For example, the frost would freeze into the shape of a liver organ above a liver organ, and so on and so forth. And he had this hypothesis that there seemed to be some kind of life force energy coming out of these organs, even though they weren't attached to an animal anymore. And he put that down to there being water in the blood. And water is always communicating with itself in all different stages. And we understand what we're taught there is a liquid, solid, and a gas, but we also come to understand that there is a fourth phase of water, which is a plasma or a kind of gel type substance, which is the kind of water inside of our cells that Dr. Gerald Pollack talks about.
Right, and it produces an electrical current that moves it. That's why you can climb trees.
Yeah, it's fascinating to watch actually, because when I've been in the lab and watched them do it, where they basically get a little beaker of water, they put something called microspheres, which allows you to see movement, and a little Nepheon tube, see-through tube. If there's fourth phase water within the water, the water will self-propel through the tube over and over and over and over again. But it happens because the fourth phase water creates this negative charge where it pushes the solates out, and on the other side, it has this more positive charge where all of the salts and minerals are.
And that's
And
how it
then
creates electricity, too.
it's a battery. Exactly. So, but within all of these different stages, there are multiple subtleties. Like there's over 300 different types of ice, and there's an immense amount of subtlety within each one. So there's much, much more to know about water and its other stages as well. I think there are many more. I was talking to Robert Edward Grant the other day, and mathematically he says there have to be more stages to water that we understand. And I've been saying that for a long time as well. I think that spirit is directly connected to another stage of water, a kind of vibrational vapor that I hope in the future we'll be able to identify and see.
I love that.
So yeah, and well, it sort of makes sense when you all religions and philosophies, they'll say that the spirit, the soul, the subtle body will leave the body, but nobody ever says how. And if you pardon the pun, you boil it down with water, salts, minerals, and consciousness. And so when people talk about being able to observe themselves from the near-death experience, which I've just been interviewing a number of people because I'm doing a webinar on about spirit and water, and I'm interviewing lots of people who have had near-death experiences, and many of them have a sense of rising, which is what a gas does, and they're looking upon their own body with no attachment to it whatsoever or identification of themselves as that body. So they become a witness. And in Maori, my dad is native New Zealand Maori, and there is a word for spirit in Maori. It's called wairua. Wai means water, and rua means two. It's the two waters, the physical and spiritual waters. And I think that there are clear definitions between them. And with the work that I do, I've started to identify them in multiple ways, which would take too long to get into right now. Other than I would say there are multiple more states of water of which we are yet to identify, and that consciousness is directly interconnected, intertwined with this aspect of water.
Right. And there are
And
multiple states of consciousness too.
so it makes sense. So I would suggest, and that I've seen those multiple, we see them ourselves, and the dream realm is one of those, the subtle, the subconscious, the conscious realms, then the realms of people, for example, who really do have psychedelic experiences or meditative experiences or out-of-body experiences where they are the observer of the body, but the body is still alive, it's still functioning, but the spirit is watching it. So how is all of that possible? And I think that the one explanation might be that there is the connection between this water in this more gaseous stage, which is a different level than we understand at the moment, which is the carrier or supporter of conscious awareness as a witness with no attachment to the physical realm, the physical body.
Right.
It's
Yeah, these are unknowns as yet, how many different levels there might be, even of vapor and what's in the air around us.
absolutely. So I got took all of that, and so what Thomas was kind of coming to was that he was saying that the water in the blood was somehow sharing information with the water in the air, which was very cold. Now each organ has something is a sonic has a sonic signature. It's like a cymatic imprint of form and function, and that shares information with the water in the air. And then when it hit the glass, it took on the form, so it was able to crystallize into the form of each organ. And I thought that was fascinating, and I thought, well, the secret seems to be in the freezing. You look at Emoto's work using emotions and consciousness and thoughts and things like that. And I thought, well, I'm just going to project a thought into my petri dish of water. I had one for another project I was working on. I'd had a healing experience with a beautiful spring water here in New Zealand. And I thought, well, I'm going to put some water into the dish. I'm going to project a thought. I'm going to stuff it in my regular freezer, and I'm just going to see what happens. It was very, very organic, very organic. And so as I'm holding my dish, looking at my petri dish with the water, and I'm thinking, oh God, what am I going to think about? And I noticed there was a little bit of fluff floating around in the dish. So I put my hand in to take out the fluff, consciously thinking, I wonder if my hand will have any kind of imprint on the waters or effect on the water's so-called memory, because I didn't know that that was a thing. I still don't even know if that is the right word, but anyway, so I thought, well, that'll do. I put it into the freezer with the peas and broccoli and everything else, and I just left it. And that was, you know, 10 years ago. And that was when I used to completely freeze water solid, which I haven't done in 9 years. And so I pulled it out, held it up to the light, and I took my very first ice photo on my iPhone. And the image that took up half of the Petri dish, the Petri dish is about the same size as my hand, which is about 10 centimeters in diameter. And it took about half, which is macroscopically huge. And it was of a very clear hand. It looked like an X-ray of a hand. And when we did a study, a kind of what's it called when you send something, a questionnaire, and I was directed by Jerry Pollack actually to do this. He said, make a questionnaire of 25 of your photos, simply saying, what does this look like to you? We wanted to trying to get a ground for image recognition. Is it pareidolia, where you make up a thing, you think, oh, that looks like a face and a tree, or is it a recognizable image across the board? So we're trying to identify that. So I did the questionnaire, gave it to people to distribute through social media, so no one knew it was coming from me. People didn't know what they were even looking at. And through 295 or 97 people did the survey, and there were just a tad over 85 percent of people who could recognize the images for what the influence was prior to freezing. But there were three where 100% of people got it right, and the hand was one of them. And so I think it's important to add that in sometimes for people that are trying to get a gauge of, you know, or is she just making something up in her mind that that looks like something.
Right,
So
but that was a start, and now you have images that nobody is going to question.
well, now I have nearly 50,000 images of water responding in the most incredibly intelligent manner, not only artistically. So as I started to teach my technique, as I said, I used to freeze water solid. I look back at my work now and I'm amazed that I got the imagery that I did.
So it's partially frozen. It's enough
Partially.
to show crystals that are an image that you can identify without it
Yes.
having to be solidly frozen.
Yes, it's I think of the three stages of freezing that I've identified by doing this, like spirit, blood, and body. When you get to the body stage, that the frozen stage, it's kind of covered everything over, but they're still in there. The first freeze is what I could think of the spirit stage. The first freeze is where I take the water out. It's about 5 minutes and 20 seconds in my freezer. It's different for everyone's freezers, which is why I teach people how to do it, just to help them. But as the water's beginning to freeze, that's what I was becoming curious about early back in the, you know, 9 years ago. So you start opening the freezer earlier and earlier to see when it's beginning to freeze. And when there's liquid on top and ice underneath, that's the stage you want to take it out. And so when you take it out, you must wipe the back because it usually has a frost. And then you tip the liquid water away, either into another dish or into plants, because that's a beautiful stage. The plants really like that kind of water. And you tip that way, and then you photograph the crystallography, which is on the dish that's stuck on the dish, as quickly as you can because it's going to melt. But what it gave me was a much more three-dimensional, much more light comes through the dish, so you can have a lot of color coming through, and it gives you such clarity. It's the image that water has designed that is the most clear that you're going to get. And it is very simple once you've got the hang of what you're looking for in the freezer. And that's what I do now and have been doing for the last 9 years. So what I'm seeing is that there are three ways that water can communicate, if you bear with me with that word. But I'd also like to, before I get there, just quickly touch on this idea of water memory. That's a word that many people are familiar with now, thanks to Masaru Emoto and many others, actually. Well, I was talking with someone who sadly just suddenly passed away, called Jonathan Butts, who had a vortexing device called Natural Action Tech. And he had written a little piece for my upcoming book. And one of the things that he really talks about is about how water needs time to rest. It's quite interesting. Water will always look heal itself before it heals the environment around it. And he was working with a stage of water called some people call it Fleda. It's kind of like a very unusual vapor stage where it's actually burning, and it burns cold, like it's implosion, and it can cut through steel. And he was finding that as he was working with this machinery, he with this Fleda, sorry, if he just kept it going 24 hours a day, it would not work efficiently. And if he kept on doing that, there would be a point where actually, the water gave this huge electrical pushback where it nearly blew up their very, very, very expensive machinery. And as long as he gave it at least half an hour of rest every 2 hours, it would work efficiently. So when he told other scientists, that that had happened, they said, well, water can't do that because we think of it as something that is just a sort of a
It's just a mechanic.
mechanics, but actually it has a personality. It seems to have lots of
I
personality.
love it. Now, there's so many levels to this. But how does this apply to us, for instance, of working with water? Because the experience of water now for people will become more and more magical when they know this, and they'll be more and more interested in how they influence with their own consciousness, how they're influencing the intelligence of water,
Well, I think
and water holds that.
that's almost that's an interesting way to say it. But where I was going with talking about Jonathan was that he was talking about water having memory, but he said, doesn't it have memory? What's the point of having memory? The point of having memory is to learn. And what I've seen and he's seen is there seems to be, like, for example, my example would be that when I put water next to a 5G tower for 15 minutes when it first came out. I have the ability to use that water, take the crystallography, let it melt, put it by the 5G tower, bring it back, do the crystallography, and see there was a shock wave through it. So it lost all its beautiful crystalline structures. And then when you let that melt, it still was disordered for as long as I could do that for. I'm not using a lot of water. You can only do it for so long. However, a couple of years ago, I did the same thing using the same water. I went to the same water source, which was a spring. And I did the crystallography as my control. And then I let that melt and I put it by the tower for the same amount of time. When I come back, you see the shock wave. But in the second one, where you let that melt and refreeze, there are two images in the ice, which I call hydroglyphs. Now, I talked about there being three ways that water communicates. Art is one. I always say that art is the heart of water. But then there is a signature pattern, which is where you can identify the different types of water based off their patterns, which I have done many, many times now. And then you have hydroglyphs. And a hydroglyph, again, is something that I organically came about very early on. And don't let me forget that the point of telling you this is to tell you that there were two hydroglyphs in the ice after the 5G tower, 5G
And what do
explosion.
they mean?
Those two were the message glyph and the information glyph. And then the very next melt and refreeze, the water looked even more beautiful than it did in the beginning, which was hard to beat because very, very freshly collected spring water forms these beautiful hexagonal patterns. So it was water informing itself as to how to heal. It already knew, it had figured it out.
Wow.
So that was very uplifting for me to see. And so what hieroglyphs are and how they came to be. So essentially they are symbols in ice that represent the energy of a word. And when I in my the many years ago when I was doing this with my children, and my children grew up watching me do this crystallography. And my son, he read Emoto's book and he came to me, he said, "Okay, Mum, I'm really worried because water hates me. I think water hates me." I'm like, "Why?" And he said, "Well, because water seems to only like classical music and John Lennon, and it hates heavy metal. And I don't really like heavy metal, but I like rap and Tupac swears, therefore water must hate me." And I said, "It's one of the problems we have when we show extremes, because if a child can't identify with either one, they often assume the worst." So that's why I think it's really important to get a big view of all of the things in between. And so I said, I'm pretty sure whoever did that probably didn't like heavy metal. And I said, I'm going to show you that I do that water is not in judgment. And so I would play lots of genres of music, choose one at a time, obviously. I'd put the dish by the speaker, leave the room, come back, and then freeze it immediately. And what I observed was that water seems to love to pick up on words of songs. So, for example, when I would play Stairway to Heaven, and I did that multiple times, I would always see this thing that looked like a stairway in the ice. And after a while, I became curious and I thought, well, what does that mean, stairway? So, I mean, this is radical thinking, but I've got no reason not to give something a go. So, I wrote the word stairway, put my dish of water on top of it for 30 seconds, because 30 seconds seems like not too long and not too short. It's a good time. Water is quantum. So, people think the longer something needs to be in the water, the stronger the imprint. I've not experienced that myself. And so, I froze it and I saw the stairway. And I thought, oh, I wonder if it'll do it again. So I did it again and again and again. And over the course of 3 months, using different waters, doing it at different times, but using the same inspiration of that word, I kept seeing the stairway. And after a while, I thought, well, okay, 50 was the number that wasn't random. So for me to say I have one hieroglyph means I have to have seen the same symbol appear at least 50 times. But then I thought, well, what do you do with a stairway? So, more relative to that song, I wrote the words climb up and I saw the stairway. Writing the words climb down did not make the stairway. And so I realized that these symbols have multiple meanings. Now, after having done this with lots of words and having help from all around the world, people using all different languages, of course, water doesn't read English. It's not reading the word like we do. It absorbs the energy of a word. Now, what's
The meaning
interesting,
of it.
if you're talking about a tree, look at a tree. The actual written word is sort of almost the most static version of it. So water almost reverse engineers it back to a living principle.
Right.
What's interesting to me is that English is a very the words don't take on as much depth as something like Hebrew, for example.
Interesting. But we're getting to the end of the show because it is too short of a show. And I would love to talk with you, of course, a lot longer. But in the meantime, until we speak again, this is you are Veda Austin, and your website is vedaaustin.com, VEDA Austin.com. And I want to thank you for being on Energy Stew. And obviously, we could talk for hours and hours, but thank you so much, and I look forward to talking with you again at some point soon.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.live. I can be reached at Peter at Heart River, HEART River.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.